wanted to talk about what is being deemed a discriminatory process by Immigration Canada when it comes to people with disabilities or their family who want them to come into the country. They are deemed to be medically inadmissible because the cost would be considered too high or inappropriate for the Canadian taxpayer to bear. Many people have pointed out that this is actually a violation of the charter. Joining us on the line right now is immigration lawyer Ron Poulton, who believes as much. Ron, how are you doing this afternoon?
Fine, thank you, John. How are you?
All right. I mean, I'm kind of curious, though. I mean, is there no justification for this ruling as of a medical inadmissibility?
Well, there is, certainly to some extent. So we're not really talking about problems with keeping people out who need severe cancer treatment or heart transplants or very expensive medical interventions. The problem we have with is the labeling of children, particularly with who have disabilities and who have a parent who has a connection to Canada already, so that some children with disabilities are exempt from this assessment process. Those are if they've got their parent who's landed here and they're sponsoring them, or one parent sponsoring another who's bringing them. But children who are want to accompany someone who is applying for landing, such as a live-in caregiver who's lived in here, Canada, for a number of years, if they're found to be disabled and then the costing is done of them, so that if the cost that they would incur or may incur if they come to Canada exceeds what an average Canadian would pay for costs over a five-year period, then they're refused. Sometimes this costing includes things that they may not even use. There are assumptions that are made that, for example, the family would need a break from them, or they would need extra attendance in school, things of that nature. These kinds of assumptions are often wrong, but the more problematic is that there's never an assessment in that calculation of the value they would bring. So just there's an assumption made that if you're disabled and the cost is too high, that keeps you out. And there's no consideration of value to the family, even to the community, and that's where the real discriminatory feature is.
All right, who does the costing, by the way?
So that's the controversy that's just come to light through a story in Global News, I understand. It's the way the medical, it's Immigration Department does it, and they rely on statistics, both on health care, which is medical interventions, and something called social services. And on the medical side, that's fine. They costed it to approximately over $6,000 a year. That's taken over a five-year period. So if you have serious medical interventions necessary and they exceed that amount, you're labeled an excessive demand. On the social services, things like school costs, education, occupational therapy, the costing of that also comes from the Immigration Department, but it appears that there's some controversy in the numbers they've been using, and they've been inaccurate, according to the story we've just heard. If that's the case, then there have been many people who have been refused entry on the basis of inaccurate numbers, and that's just been reported, so we'll see how far that goes.
You talk about the value of the individuals. I mean, how do we quantify that, though?
Well, that's a hard one. It's true, you know, but on the one hand, we're making an assumption that the costs they incur and the things I've identified keep them out without looking at anything on the other side. So, you know, what do they do around the house? If somebody is labeled with mental retardation, for example, there's an assumption made that they'll access all these services needed to help them when they come to Canada without looking at things like, you know, how close is the family? What are the things they do around the house? What work are they actually capable of, whether it's even the most simple job possible, sweeping a broom or something even better? None of that is factored into this. All it is about is money. Now, there is some room on the money side because of a Supreme Court of Canada decision in 2005, where if you can prove you're not going to access those services by the government, then that mitigates the disability and you may be allowed in. But it still doesn't include any consideration of those other kind of values, family unification values, and other value you can bring. The best example I can give you is, this isn't on children, but it's someone like Stephen Hawking, for example, the physicist in the United States, he'd be refused. There's no consideration on the side of the brilliance he brings or the abilities or anything like that. All it is dollars and cents, and he requires lots of medical care and other kinds of care. So someone like him in a wheelchair has to be refused.
All right. Although some may say he may represent more the anomaly than the general rule, but nonetheless, immigration lawyer Ron Poulton with us saying it's discriminatory what Immigration Canada is doing when it comes to people with disabilities. If it's families trying to bring somebody in with a disability, there's a whole means test, and if they are deemed to have placed excessive or would place excessive demand on the healthcare system, then they're ruled inadmissible. And one of the problems with that, when you say it comes down to money, for sure it does. And I know, having spoken in the past about certain, well, just up until recently, where the provincial government changed the policy on autistic children, for example, a lot of the parents were claiming that they were shortchanged. How do you square that with somebody who says, I've lived here all my life, I'm a Canadian citizen, we paid into the system, why would somebody else get special dispensation and we're not fully looked after?
Well, it's not special dispensation, it's just equal dispensation. That's on the one side. And it's a valid point and a good question. But, you know, we make choices all the time on human rights issues which require the government to spend money. We have court systems, we have refugee hearings. We've decided that there are some human rights matters that are so important that we're willing to put in, you know, pull money of our pockets, ask the taxpayers to pay for it, and go forward with that. And this is another one of those. You know, it's never been seen, disability rights has never been seen sort of on the same field as some of these other rights, but there's no reason for that. And the UN has just issued a condemnation of Canada for that, and I think the Canadian government is apparently taking steps to redress that. But it is another, and it is another issue of human right, and it's how you perceive it. And it's an acceptance by the population that, okay, we get it. We have to reach into our pockets for it, but this is important enough to do that.
So is it human rights?
Those are valid comments about it, though, and it's something that has to be, our politicians have to do a better job in explaining.
Okay, and just to clarify finally, I mean, is it a case of human rights, or are they charter rights, Canadian charter rights, or are they one and the same?
I think they're one and the same in this instance. It really depends on the circumstances, but Section 15 protects against discrimination. If you view somebody with a disability as lesser than someone else because they cost money and you're not looking at the value you provide, that's discriminatory treatment.
All right. And so right now the threshold is $6,655. That's been determined by the Immigration Department. If they actually increased it, would that change the equation or not?
Well, it depends how much they increase it to, and it depends how they look at all of the factors. My guess, probably not that much, because the figure that they're looking at to be the real figure, according to the news report, is not significantly more. And when they make those costings, as I said, they don't factor in any value other than the pure cost. So I'm not sure it's going to change that much.
Appreciate your time, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, immigration lawyer Ron Poulton on that matter.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.